9 o'clock hour, Chuck and Buck in the mornings. Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, Chris Kidd with you here on this Wednesday. We're going to mock draft a little bit later on this hour, and we will close things out with a special ceremony at 9:45. But it's always special when we get this guy to join us here in the mornings. You hear him all the time here at Sports Radio 950 KJR. Well, he's a walking icon, is what he is. David Softy Mahler is with us here this morning to promote something very special coming your way this evening at 6 o'clock. Good morning, sir.
First of all, when you say special ceremony at 9:45, what do you mean? Like a closing ceremony, like a ribbon-cutting ceremony, like a cleansing ceremony, a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah? What are we talking about here?
I'll just put it this way. There will be cake and fireworks. So, that's all you need to know.
I'm a big fan of cake. I love cake, man. Give me some Costco cake. Give me a Safeway cake. Maybe something from QSC, Burakini. If people know what I'm talking about in the Valley, Rainier Valley, Burakini down there. That's a hell of a cake, man. Now you got me wanting cake, for crying out loud. Thanks, pal.
Well, what are you going to do to ring in and celebrate the debut Jimmy Lake show today? What's going on, man?
Yeah. Well, apparently we're going to have some cake to celebrate the Jimmy Lake show. That's a great idea, man. I'm going to bring a sheet cake to Husky Stadium today to kick off the Jimmy Lake show at 6 p.m. tonight from Husky Stadium, man, with Tony Castricone. Look, here's the deal, dude. I'm getting tired of waiting. I think UW is getting tired of waiting. I know Husky fans are getting tired of waiting for the Pac-12 to get their act together and figure this freaking thing out. So we all know this, that we love the Seahawks, we love the NFL, but we also love the Huskies and we love college football. And it's about time that the home of the Huskies gives the Huskies the credit and the airtime they deserve on this radio station, whether there's games being played or not. So starting tonight and every Wednesday until the end of time, from Husky Stadium, Tony Castricone, myself, Jimmy Lake will start his coaches show. That'll be on the network statewide tonight at 6 p.m. Be taking texts, be taking emails, all that stuff for Jimmy. Find out what they've been doing the last couple of months, right? Ever since the Pac-12 decided to shut things down back in August. What has his day been looking like? How do they replace guys like Levi and Joe Tryon, who took off early for the NFL draft? What's the quarterback situation look like? What's the secondary look like? So I'm just starving for freaking Husky football, man. I'm like Clark Griswold walking through the desert in National Lampoon's Vacation. I need a drink, and I need that drink to be a big help in a Husky football tonight at 6 p.m. So we got that going on. And then Saturday morning, Tony Castricone and Damon Heward will have Husky football Saturday, every Saturday from 8 to 11. The first hour is going to be a shortened version of a classic Husky football broadcast. And this weekend is the 2012 win against Stanford at Husky Stadium with Bob Rondo. And then Tony and Damon will hang out until 11 o'clock on KJR talking some Husky football. So we're going, man. If the Pac-12 is ready, great. If they're not ready, see ya. We're going.
Yeah. So you're going anyways. All right.
We're going, Bucky. We're going, baby.
You're going anyways.
And if you know what? Well, if you got any freaking passion down there in Oregon, you'd be going too. What's Jerry Allen doing? What's the home of the Ducks doing? Nothing. That's what they're doing. Let's go.
Oh, they're getting ready. Oh, don't you worry. They're getting ready.
Well, what
I'm wondering from you is, what's your thoughts on if not every team in the Pac-12 is ready to go? Does the rest of the Pac-12 got to sit back and wait? Or is it like, hey, all right, if you want to sit out, you sit out. The Huskies are going.
Right. I would say this. If you have at least half the conference ready, then we're playing football, period. End of story. I mean, how in the world can you allow three or four schools, if not even one or two? Can you imagine a scenario, Bucky, where UCLA or Stanford pick one team, pick two teams, whatever, they don't want to play? You know, Stanford's all of a sudden getting high and mighty about having football players on campus when the regular student population is not allowed to be there, because this idea that football players are treated differently than general students all of a sudden is something new that people are having to deal with, which is ridiculous, obviously. So can you imagine if the other 11 schools have to sit out because Stanford doesn't want to play football, because the nerds at Stanford don't want to play football, Oregon State, UW Wazoo, everybody else has to sit out? To me, that's illogical, it's nonsensical, it's ridiculous, and it can't happen that way. So the goal is to get all 12 teams, obviously, but I would say in my world, for me, If you've got half the conference ready to go and you can play three games every week, then let's go. But I think what's going to happen in the end, I think cooler heads are going to prevail. I think logic is going to win out, and you'll see all 12 teams going, likely on Halloween, if not the week after.
Is there any fear that maybe Washington's one of the schools balking, or do you have information sources that that's not the case?
Yeah. Well, it's not a billion. It's just shy of a million. Let's not be crazy here. Yeah. But UW is absolutely not one of those schools. UW, before the shutdown by the Pac-12, was actually practicing. They weren't in pads, right? They weren't scrimmaging against each other, but they were on Husky Stadium's turf. If you walked out to the south parking lot and peeked through the fence, you would have seen players on the field throwing the football around. So, no, they are ready, man. And that's the thing about the Pac-12 from their perspective, is that you kind of understand why some of these schools have taken the tack that they've taken of shutting things down and not being ready to go by Halloween, because the Pac-12 told them to shut things down, right? I mean, obviously, I think if you're being logical, you got to understand that things are fluid, things can change, but that's not the approach the Pac-12 took. Larry Scott, when they announced back in August they were shutting things down until January, that was firm. There was no wiggle room on that day. They were shutting everything down until 2021. So if you're David Shaw, if you're Chip Kelly, if you're, Jimmy Lake or Mario Cristobal, whoever, and you say, well, the Pac-12 is telling me we're not going to play until January, you guys all go home. You go home and do your thing. Some schools did that. Other schools, like Washington, decided to say, hey, look, we're going to take this time to get kids in the weight room in small groups. We're going to take this time to get kids watching film, if even online. We're not going to shut things down. And you'll find out more about that tonight, by the way, Chuck, at 6 p.m., what Washington did during the last couple of months that maybe other schools didn't, to put them in position to start playing right away as opposed to wait until January. But that, I think, was one of the big mistakes that Larry Scott and the Pac-12 made. They should have announced on that day, our plan is to play in January. Things are fluid. There's a chance it may change. There's a chance we could go earlier, but that's not their attitude, man. That's not what they proposed. That's not what they put forward. They put forward a hard and fast date, which I thought was a mistake, and you're seeing kind of some of the fruits of that mistake right now.
Agreed, Softy. All right, so let's just assume that this thing is going to go off and that it's going to go off sooner than later. How are you feeling right now about your purple, your Huskies? How are you feeling about them, even though they had a couple studs that kind of opted out of this thing and are going to go into the draft?
Well, they lost their two best linemen in Joe Tryon and Levi Onwuzurike, so I'm not happy about that, you know. But they got Sam Taimani, they got Thule, they got all those guys coming back next year, this year, whenever this year happens. So they've got some depth on the defensive front. Their secondary, which on paper looked awesome going into 2020, is still intact. Everything else is ready to rock, right? Their wide receivers that seem to be as deep as they've been in a long time. The tight end room looks great on paper. So outside of losing Joe Tryon and losing Levi Onwuzurike, I think they're actually doing pretty good. And I'm not, Bucky, bringing this up to be a smartass. I was talking to Wilner about this yesterday on the radio show. I think the team that stands to lose the most because of the Pac-12's attitude towards this whole thing is your favorite football team, the Oregon Ducks. I think Oregon was going to be the preseason favorite to win the conference, and if there was a team that could represent the Pac-12 in the Final Four, I think Oregon had the best chance. I don't think they do anymore. You've lost half your secondary. You've lost maybe the best left tackle in college football in Penei Sewell. You guys were gearing towards at least watching Penei go to New York City and sit there for the Heisman Trophy ceremony and have a chance to do what Marcus Mariota did. That opportunity is now gone. So I think of all the teams out there in the Pac-12 that stand to lose the most because of the Pac-12's ridiculous approach to this thing, I think it's your Oregon Ducks, pal.
Well, I don't like that. I do actually agree with you. And I know that right now you are smiling while you say that, and I am not.
You know
smiling.
What? Bucky, honestly, man, you know what? There's a big part of me that would love to be a smartass and rub it in, but I don't like the way it went down, right? If you could go back in time and say, hey, the Pac-12's playing football or there's no COVID, but the price you have to pay is Oregon makes the Final Four, hell, you know what? Let them win the frickin' national championship for all I care, okay? If this thing gets cured and there's a vaccine and people are back to work people that are struggling with their livelihoods and their mental attitude, if they're all back to work and this never happened, but the price I got to pay is freaking Oregon wins the national championship, let them win five in a row. So, yeah, there's a part of me as a Husky fan, when this thing gets going, that's going to like not having to face Penei Sewell. But if you're telling me we could go back in time and not have it happen like this, and Oregon's good, that's fine. Sign me up, dude.
Well, where is, I mentioned your billion different resources that you have. I mean, you do a show now with Jimmy Lake, apparently. Everybody knows you play bridge with Jen Cohen every Tuesday.
Yes.
I mean, the friendships that you have with that administration, you and Chris Peterson, you go kayaking in the summer quite frequently. So you've got a lot of different resources to tap into based off all of your resources, all the information that you've gathered, talking to John Wilner every week. Confidence meter that we're going to have Pac-12 football this fall?
Well, first of all, it's not bridge with Jen. It's pinochle, and it's not kayaking with Peterson. It's paddleboarding. So let's just make sure we're accurate and fair on the radio show.
Sorry about that.
I'd be stunned. Yeah, it's okay. Nobody's perfect. I would be stunned if there was no football this fall. Actually, you know what? Let me just walk that back. There's a difference between shock, stun, and surprise, I guess, if we're getting technical here. My God, I sound like Hugh Mellon. But I would not be surprised, I guess, because I would never put anything past this conference. Anything. You know, Dick and I talked about this yesterday on the radio show. The Mountain West is likely to announce a football season tomorrow. And you cannot live in a world, Chuck, where the Pac-12 is the only decent to major conference going, or excuse me, not playing, while everybody else is. The SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Mountain West, everybody else is going except for you. As bad as things are now perception-wise, they would be multiplied tenfold if the Pac-12 did not get their act together and find a way to play on Thursday. So nothing would shock the hell out of me, but I think that would be suicide. It would be totally illogical and completely nonsensical. And the other part of that, I would just add this, if you're not going to play football, what the hell was the point in making that big press conference about your signing that testing agreement with that company in San Diego? When they came out, you know, 2 weeks ago and had that webinar and had a big, you know, to-do about this company in San Diego, Quital, I believe it's called, you know, you're not doing that because you're fired up about testing volleyball players. You're not doing that because you're fired up because you're testing softball players and cross-country runners. You're doing that because you're fired up that you can test football players. If you're not going to play football, what the hell was the point of that whole entire thing?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Coach Baird, because that guy's got to be like a rabid dog right now. I mean, is he just what's he going through without college football every Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about
him. I actually asked him the other day what he thought about playing football and getting the Huskies going again. Here's what he said. And I couldn't understand a word he said, man. I couldn't translate that whatsoever, so I had no idea what he was talking about. But, yeah, I mean, he's fired up. I'm fired up. Everybody is fired up, man, for Husky football, even if it means not having fans in the stands. It's going to suck to not be there. It's going to suck to go do a pregame show and a postgame show from the stadium on campus, not have fans in the zone, not have fans in the stadium. But for the people that usually don't go to games, I don't know how much of a difference it's going to really make. Like, for example, I would just ask the folks out there, maybe you guys are in this group, I have no idea. If you don't go to Seahawks games on average typically, was Sunday night really that much different for you? Yeah, when they show the stands and there's no fans there, yes, it's weird. Yes, it was weird not having the fans screaming in Cam Newton's ear on that final drive of the game. But once they show the tight shot on the field and you're watching football and not shots of the stands that remind you there's no fans there, did it really feel that much different for the fans that usually don't go to games anyway?
I it doesn't bother me at all to watch games on television without without fans in the stands. Now, it would feel a lot different if I was there, but it's not bothering my enjoyment whatsoever.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like that. Absolutely,
All right, dude. So Jimmy Lake Show tonight at 6:00. Don't blow it. All right.
Yeah, man, the pressure's on. I was kind of getting nervous already, and now I'm even more nervous after that comment. So no, I'm fired up for this, man. It's going to be fun to sit down and just talk some Husky football, and I'm really curious, honestly, to find out what they've been doing the last couple of months. I think we know in a normal season, in the middle of September, Jimmy Lake's day would be wake up at 4, get home at midnight, right, and do it all over again the next day. So what does this day look like? You know, what are they doing to make sure when the Pac-12 announces we're playing football in a month from now, what are they doing to make sure that they're ready? What are they doing that maybe other programs aren't doing? So Jimmy Lake show tonight from Husky Stadium. We'll actually do our show from 3 to 6 from Husky Stadium before the show at 6 p.m. tonight. And then don't forget, Tony and Damon are on Saturday morning starting at 8.
Excellent. Thank you, man. We appreciate it. Have fun with it. We look forward to it.
All right. Go Dogs. See ya.
There he is. David Softy Mahler. Again, Jimmy Lake show tonight at 6, debuting, and we'll be on every Wednesday at 6 with Tony and Softy throughout the course of the year. Coming up next, it's back after a couple of weeks off from a traditional Mama Said Mock You Out draft. It returns to Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJ. For a little Mama Said Mock You Out draft here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Last couple of weeks, Mama has had to take the back seat to Green Jacket drafts. Event previews that we've held right here on the program, draft style. I mean, you've gotten your drafts at 920, just not a Mama Said Mock You Out draft where we leave the results to you, the listener. You are our scoreboard. We will draft for 4 rounds on a given topic. 4 different drafters, Chris Kidd, Matt Slickhawk Michaelis, and Bucky Jacobson, along with myself. 16 picks in all at the end of this. You determine who's drafted the best team, the best foursome of picks via voting on. Or you could go to our website, sportsradiokjr.com. It'll be available there as well. And so the drafters are ready to go. Are you guys fired up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. I like this one.
Okay. I'm always pumped for this.
Oh, you do like this one. Well, this is going to be different. I'm not exactly sure what the hell kind of results we're going to end up with. But we are going with the Dallas Cowboys on the schedule for Sunday. The best Cowboys of all time. Now, not necessarily Dallas Cowboys, but not eliminating Dallas Cowboys. These are just Cowboys. We don't have many rules to this one. So Slickhawk might be Russell Wilson. I don't know, because we didn't put any restrictions. It's clearly up to interpretation as to what you consider a cowboy. Is that just somebody that wears a cowboy hat a lot, or somebody that actually does go out on the range and rope cows? I don't know.
All right.
But this is what the best cowboys today. Bucky, you like this topic?
I do like this topic because I like it being kind of open-ended. You know, there's a whole bunch of ways you can interpret this. Now, I did just figure something out that Slickhawk probably will find somewhere on the internet that Russell Wilson had a pair of cowboy boots on or a hat that looked like a cowboy hat, and so he'll draft him just to win the draft. So I don't he like might. That part, but hopefully we can find a way around it.
This is not what I do.
Or do you care to defend yourself?
For sure.
Yeah, I'd love to defend myself. I pick the best pick for that spot on my board. Period. Has nothing to do with the home cooking or anything like that.
Well, I can't wait to see your team of cowboys. Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Ken Griffey Jr., and Edgar Martinez. That's going to be an awesome...
Yeehaw!
An awesome posse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's going to... Watch.
All right, kid, do you have an order for us?
Unfortunately, I do.
Okay. Oh. That means you're going last.
Well, you figured that out quite quickly. So, yes, Chuck is up first.
Wow. 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah. Followed by Slick Mick.
Oh, wow.
Then that leaves Bucky, and you know where that leaves me. So, let's just get on with it.
Okay. All right. So, I have to come up with the best cowboy of all time here, huh?
Yeah.
Pressure's on you, man. This is so hard.
I don't know. I don't. They're. Does anybody think there's like a clear-cut number one?
No.
Yes. No direction to go
there's
in.
There's a clear-cut one and two, and you can't go wrong with either
Thank
one.
Thank you, Buck.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll help you.
Suddenly,
if you want the number three pick?
I just got really nervous because apparently I'm going to give something stupid because I don't see a clear-cut number one greatest boy of all time. You know what? I'm going to go ahead. Again, this guy's not even a Cowboy, but, you know, in trying to win the vote here, I'm thinking I got to do something that's classic and yet something that's modern. He was a gunfighter. So I'm going to go with the Tombstone star, Wyatt Earp.
Wow.
Wyatt Earp as the greatest cowboy of all time.
You know, I had thought about this with Wyatt Earp, and it's interesting because he spent a good part of his career fighting the Cowboys, the gang called the Cowboys. So
he's
it's kind
lawman.
Of the anti-cowboy.
You might be right. I could do it over. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's up to you. Look, I think we're going to be pretty broad with this stuff. I don't think we're going to be canceling too many of these. I just...
Well, that's just it. I mean, this is the problem. As we start nitpicking, I don't know how many actual Cowboys are going to end up...
No, sure. I wasn't saying you shouldn't be allowed to pick it. I'm just saying why it was lower down on my list.
Yeah. Well, he had a cowboy hat on. And
he
shot bad people.
He was a badass
with,
in the West.
Wyatt Earp as the number one overall pick. All right, Slick Hawk, you are up. Lay it on me. Who's the next cowboy in our
group? The next... Ah, man. I don't even know what to do with all this. I'm going to go... Well, every cowboy at some point is probably an outlaw, right? I'm going to go with Josie Wales.
Oh, the outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah.
That's a great character.
Yeah.
Only had one movie.
That's all you need. Showed up, said, hey, I'm doing my thing, and then bowed out of Hollywood.
Of course. I don't want to see the Josie Wales 2 come out now. You know, Clint's a little long in the tooth at this point.
Well, he could direct it.
All right, Josie Wales. I'm going to guess, Bucky, you've got your choice of your two obvious Cowboys picks here.
Yeah, I do, and I can't believe that I mean, you guys went actual, like, real life, like people that were gunslingers, and that isn't necessarily where I was going with it. I have a couple of those guys on my list, but I was thinking more just the overall number one was John Wayne. I mean, it's
that's
pretty
great.
Tough to kind of go against Mr. John Wayne in the day. Cowboy.
I was deciding between John Wayne and Wyatt Earp, but I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, wow, I think maybe more people, younger people, know the name Wyatt Earp over John Wayne, but those were the two I was trying to decide between. So I think that's a great pick. I mean, his nickname was the Cowboy, if I'm not mistaken. So,
right.
It was the Duke, right?
Oh, yeah, right. It is the Duke. But he was a cowboy.
He was a cowboy.
All right, Chris Kidd, you are up. You got back-to-back selections here. Where are you going to go? By the way, John Wayne went to USC. I think that Coach Holmgren knows John Wayne a little bit.
Yeah, man. We got to ask him about that.
Yeah. So, way to go, Bucky. Picked a Trojan. All right, Kidd, you are up. You got back-to-back selections here on our best Cowboys of all time draft. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going to go... I'm going to stick with Tombstone, and I'm going to rock with Doc Holliday.
Oh, wow.
Good. Now, the Doc Holliday is probably my favorite character of any movie ever in Tombstone. Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer. So great.
That's the crazy thing. I got the psychic character, but it's probably a better pick. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. There.
Well, he was a dentist. I mean,
still a cowboy.
But the deadliest
cowboy hat.
But the deadliest pistolier in the West. So, I mean.
Yeah.
How do you balance
if he's
that?
If he's milked a cow, he's a cowboy.
There you go.
And Doc Holliday has pulled a keeper
for it. I'm a cowboy. I've milked a cow, kind of.
All right, Chris, you are up again. You got Doc Holliday with your first pick. Where are you going to go with fifth overall?
Can I take the man with no name?
Yeah, you can.
The man with no name.
Yes.
Look at that. He's going all cowboys here.
That's great.
All right. The man with no name is the pick for Chris Kidd in round number two. All right, Bucky, you are up.
Okay. Well, I get my the other guy that I thought was the 1-2 pick here. I thought for sure. I thought Mr. Clint Eastwood would go one or two. I'm going to go ahead and go with the man, Clint.
All right. Clint Eastwood. All right. Goes with the next pick. Well, you got the two big actors. I'll give you that. You got a theme going right here. John Wayne, Clint Eastwood was Bucky's team of Cowboys, greatest Cowboys of all time. All right, Slick, give you our up. You got Josie Wales in round one. Where are you going in round two?
How's about a man that, I mean, he actually lived and was also portrayed in movie film by, you know, one of the greater actors of all time as well. I'm going with Butch Cassidy.
Butch Cassidy.
Yes.
All right. A legitimate cowboy. Maybe
yes,
our first one. A legitimate cowboy, Butch Cassidy. I think also, I think he did a show with Danny Bonaducci for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember that. No. Really?
Yeah. He was one of the Partridge Kids.
Sure. Oh, I think that was David Cassidy.
Oh, okay. My bad then. Well, that, I'll wear that.
Come on, get happy.
That one will be on me then.
Did they ever call him Butch? I don't know. Maybe they did.
I got back-to-back selections here. So, oh boy, where am I going to go with this? This is not easy all of a sudden. I'm going to go with... oh boy, I don't know where to go with this, I'll be honest. You know what, I'm going to do a couple of my favorites. I'm going to go Lone Ranger.
Okay.
Lone Ranger there. He rides again, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go there, and then I'm going to go with my next selection.
Tonto.
More of a horse.
I'm going to go with, Tonto was not a horse. That was a silver.
The sidekick. Oh,
Tonto, yeah, Tonto was a sidekick. I'm going to go, I keep saying that. I'm going to go with Django.
No!
Son of
no!
a.
No!
Oh, my goodness.
Ranger and Django.
Wow.
Give me why, yeah.
I was hoping I could get that right. Oh,
that was my next pick.
So everybody
well, eat
Django.
It.
Cool.
Eat it. Eat it with a plate of beans, cowboy.
With a plate of beans, he says.
That hurts.
Oh.
That hurts.
All right, Slick Rock, you are up. Greatest Cowboys of all time.
Man, that really upsets me. I wanted Django.
Still got Larry Allen is out there.
Yeah, Larry Allen I could go with.
Jake.
What I'm going to actually go with, though, is the first football player to come off. I'm going to go with Roger Staubach.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. I know Gil Brandt, Hall of Famer Gil Brandt. He'll tell you the greatest cowboy of all time is Roger Staubach.
Look at that.
That's his favorite player.
I'll go with him.
So, okay. Yeah, that's good. I like it. All right, Bucky, you are up next.
Are
you
going
to keep adding
Django.
To your actors?
Yeah, well, no, but this guy has been portrayed by actors. I figured we could get some of these old school, actual real life Western gunslingers. I figured there was a bunch of them, so I could get one later. And sure enough, Wild Bill Hickok, he lasted all the way to the third round for me. So Wild Bill, please.
Wild Bill Hickok. I considered him myself with my last couple picks. So Wild Bill Hickok is Bucky's pick in our best Cowboys draft of all time. Any kind of Cowboys. Open to loose interpretation right here. Kid, for goodness sake, took a dentist in round number one. So here he is with his last two picks. So where are you going to go to round out your Cowboy posse?
I'm your Huckleberry.
Well, let me get Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith.
Okay.
All right. I love the idea of Doc Holliday, the man with no name, and Emmitt Smith riding around the countryside.
And my last one, you know what? I'm going to take William Money.
Oh, boy. More just like a flat-out gunfighter. He terrible at raising the sheep and the herd. Terrible at it. But boy, put a little whiskey in him and watch him turn around. All right, William Money is the pick for Chris Kidd with his last selection. All right, Bucky, round out your team of Cowboys.
One of my favorite little jingles, songs to sing as a kid was Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. So I'm going to go ahead and give me Davy Crockett, the King of the Wild Frontier.
Boy, That is a loose interpretation right there, because all the Cowboys to this point, at least, have worn a cowboy hat or helmet. You got a guy with a raccoon on his head.
So true.
It's very true.
This is just a Tennessee hayseed with a rifle and an accurate eye. That's all you drafted.
Yeah. Frontiersman, a soldier. He even worked his way into politics, I think, back in the day. Davy Crockett, come on now.
Yeah, not sure he's ever been around a cow.
Oh, I'm sure
Ken Jr. and Lou Piniella have been around more cows.
And I'm not sure he was ever a boy. I think he just grew up and boom, came out a man.
Yeah. You just drafted a frontier man. Yeah. Oh, no, cowboy, just a frontier man. Maybe a raccoon boy. Maybe that's what you drafted
there.
That is
a good team, bud.
All right, Slickhawk, you are up in our draft of cowboys. Where are you going to go?
This man, well, he was a military man. He was a showman. He was a cowboy. He did it all. William Buffalo Bill Cody.
Buffalo Bill Cody. Yep. Oh, except he shot buffaloes. I hate him.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to eat.
If I could fight a guy on this list, it's Buffalo Bill.
You got to eat. You know? Yeah. You never have buffalo?
More than just for food.
You never have buffalo or bison?
Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever heard of lunch meat? I mean, go to the grocery store there, Bill. My beautiful buffalo.
I don't think they had a very, very Lunchables, stocked up deli section. You know,
late
1800s. I watch you get some of that Oscar Mayer.
You know what I'm a little disappointed in, Slickhawk, is that you did not take Matthew Modine. I thought for sure, Mr. Full Metal Jacket there.
Oh, that's a really, really good pick. Oh, no. Cowboy.
Yeah. Oh. Or was he Joker? Which one was Joker and which one was Cowboy?
Maybe
that's
him?
Why you didn't pick it.
Yeah. I gotta look up who actually played him. But yeah, no, Cowboy was a great pick.
All right, so here we go. I got the last selection, so I can talk this thing out. I either go with the singing cowboy Roy Rogers or Gene Autry. Like they're probably the most legendary cowboys of them all. The only problem is that if you are under the age of 40, you've never heard of them, and I think most of our voters are under the age of 40. I kind of want to go J.R. Ewing here, but he was more of an oil tycoon.
Yeah.
I might as well take Jerry Jones, for goodness sake.
I thought about that,
just
too.
Because he wore a cowboy hat, but I'm going to bypass that.
Okay.
I really want to go with Barry Sanders because he was an Oklahoma State cowboy.
Nice.
But I don't want to deal with people thinking that we're idiots because we put Barry Sanders on a list of greatest cowboys of all time, and they think that we don't know sports, that we missed that by that much. That we thought Barry Sanders was a Dallas Cowboy. So I don't want to deal with the people thinking that we're morons because I put Barry Sanders on a list of greatest cowboys of all time list. So I'm not going to go there. I kind of want to go with Bob Orton and make Puckett smile.
Oh, Randy Orton's daddy.
The cowboy
Bob Orton.
I kind of want to go in that direction, but nice. Perhaps... I won't. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take my football player here. And I'm going to go. Boy, I should go with Bob Lilly, but again, I'm dating myself at that point. I kind of want to go with Michael Irvin, but nobody likes Michael Irvin.
Really?
So I'll take Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
I'll round out the team with Troy Aikman.
I would have at least got Deion Sanders.
He was a 49er and a Falcon and everything else. If you're going to draft a Dallas Cowboy, he should have played for the Dallas Cowboys, Emmitt Smith. So there are our teams of the greatest Cowboys of all time. Chuck goes with Wyatt Earp, Lone Ranger, Django, and Troy Aikman. Slickhawk goes with Josie Wales, Butch Cassidy, Roger Staubach, and Buffalo Bill Cody. Bucky's got John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, Wild Bill Hickok, and Davy Crockett. Chris Kidd goes with Doc Holliday, the man with no name, Emmitt Smith, and William Money. We will have these posted very quickly on Twitter, also on our website, sportsradiokjr.com. Remember, you are voting for the best foursome of cowboys and not the best overall pick. We will announce the results 24 hours from now. Coming up next, we close out the show with one last thing. 30. final segment of the show. We call it One Last Thing. It's where we typically go around the room and get one last thing from every member of the show, one last thing that they've got on their mind, something we didn't bring up during our 4 hours together, or something we brought up but didn't get to talk about enough for their liking. But today, we might not have time for one last thing because we need to award Chris Kidd with his brand new green jacket.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Y'all smell that?
Take that thing off your dusty shoulders, Slick Hawk, and hand it over where it rightfully belongs, around Chris Kidd, who won our green jacket draft for our U.S. Open competition. Kind of smoked us, too. He ended up getting everybody in on the cut, and then his guy goes on to win the entire damn tournament in Bryson DeChambeau. So yes. I would say tip of the cap to you, sir.
Thank you. You clearly are
a wealth of golf knowledge.
Appreciate the love. Thank you so much. Shout out DeChambeau. Appreciate you out there doing your thing, baby. We are champions. I hope you smell what I'm cooking. Bucky, you're quiet, man. What's up?
Yeah, hey, what's up, Bucky? Two guys get in there by the skin of their teeth right at the cut line. I mean, absolutely the luckiest picks I've ever seen. But hey, you know what? You did pick the winner. I think we should figure out a way to where that means something, like we've talked about before.
Yeah, well, we have to have this. I agree. I think that we need to change the rules on our green jacket golf majors. Golf. Yeah, I don't think that the punishment should be so severe if you don't make a cut. And then I think there should be an extra reward for winning the entire tournament. I just don't want to have that discussion live on the radio. So we need to have that like off the air and figure out how to change things. But nonetheless, under the current rules, Chris Kidd not only won it, he won it going away. So congratulations, sir. And I've lost track of the total count of green jackets. I don't even know where that list went for me, but it just feels like you and Slick have been winning a lot here as of late, and it doesn't make me happy.
I'm no longer a rookie, guys.
Yeah, you grows up and you grows up. All of a sudden, he's cutting into maybe it is, Bucky. Maybe Chris knows most about golf on the show.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. Right? I mean, if you pick four golfers that get in and make the cut, you just basically know better than everyone else. And so, you play a ton of rounds. What do you play, 4 or 5 times a week, kid? I mean, you know golf.
I'm just going to plead the fifth here. What's your one last thing, buddy?
Yeah.
Well, kid,
it's like me winning kid NBA. And
Kid and I are going. Bucky wins the NBA one and Kid wins the golf one. 2020, people. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right. So Kid and I are going head to head this week, by the way, in the overall baseball. We took baseball teams at the beginning of the year, best overall record. Right now, because Kid had a horrible night last night. He only has 4 teams, Bucky, and he lost 5 games last night.
Right.
So yeah, I moved out ahead of him into the lead. So I'm 2.5 games up on Chris Kidd here with the Yankees, Indians, Padres, and A's. He has the Rays, White Sox, Cubs, and Phillies. So it's really down to just Kidd and I for this green jacket, and I'm 2.5 games up with, 5 days to play.
Yeah, I thought there was still a chance of some others, but I looked into the schedule a little bit, and Kidd does have it's kind of one of those favorable, but not all of a sudden, it's not the best. He has coming down the stretch, the final 3 games of the year, he has a series where I think he has maybe the Cubs playing the White Sox, or I'm not sure exactly what he is, but he's going to get a win no matter what, like in all 3 of those games. So it's kind of one of those, you know, if he has a little bit of, if he can catch up and has a little bit of a lead, he might be able to kind of hold it with that little scheduling flaw that he's got.
Yeah, well, he's also going to lose that game, though, too. So that's 50. We're playing above 50% baseball here. We're playing above 500 to win this sucker. So we're heading down the stretch. Bucky and I are heading down the stretch with our Mariners home run derby. If my math is right, you are up +3 with 5 games to go. And so basically what it boils down to, as long as Justice Sheffield doesn't give up like 2 or 3 home runs, I'm assuming you're going to win that one.
Yeah, I'm just hoping he doesn't get rocked in his last outing. And then you just got Fraley called up off the alternate site. So if he was to maybe pop one and JP get another one, and Kyle get one, and Justice goes out there and gives up a couple, you could kind of pull this thing out of the fire, so to speak. But I hope not. I need it.
Yeah. You are up plus three on me. We're the only two that have a shot at that one. And then our NBA Green Jacket Draft, Slickhawk's got a pretty sizable lead. He is up on Kid by 114 points. He's up on me by 138 points. However, Slickhawk was up on Kid 200 points and me 250 a few days ago. So he's only got one guy left. I've got three guys remaining, and Kid's got two guys remaining. And so all three of us have a shot at that green jacket going forward. So there you go. There's an update on all of our little silly contests that we do on the side as a way of previewing major events. But we got to see them through to the end, right? We got to see who actually wins our drafts and our bets that we have on air. So a lot of things are going to be decided this week. We will pass along that information. So don't get comfortable in that green jacket, DeChambeau. Because I'm coming after it.
We shall
see.
You
hear me?
I'm ready.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Coming up next, you've got Puck, you got Slick. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 6 a.m. on Sports Radio 950 KJ.